Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you today as I welcome a special guest to our podcast to read for us. Today we have with us Sarah Newell, who has been a member of Mountain Brook Baptist since 2008. And Sarah will read for us today, and then afterwards we'll have a time of conversation together.
A reading from chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And now a reading from Psalm chapter 69, verses 19 through 36. "You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none, for comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. For they persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them, for God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there." And now we move to Isaiah chapter 57. "The righteous perish, and no one takes it to heart. The devout are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. But you, come here, you children of a sorceress, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes. Who are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels, the offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. You sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. The idols among the smooth stones of the ravines are your portion. Indeed, they are your lot. Yes, to them you have poured out drink offerings and offered grain offerings. In view of all this, should I relent? You have made your bed on a high and lofty hill. There you went up to offer your sacrifices. Behind your doors and your doorposts, you have put your pagan symbols. Forsaking me, you uncovered your bed. You climbed into it and opened it wide. You made a pact with those whose beds you love, and you looked with lust on their naked bodies. You went to Molech with olive oil and increased your perfumes. You sent your ambassadors far away. You descended to the very realm of the dead. You wearied yourself by such going about, but you would not say, "It is hopeless." You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint. Whom have you so dreaded and feared that you have not been true to me, and have neither remembered me nor taken this to heart? Is it not because I have long been silent that you do not fear me? I will expose your righteousness and your works, and they will not benefit you. When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away. But whoever takes refuge in me will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will not accuse them forever, nor will I always be angry, for then they would faint away because of me, the very people I have created. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them, and I hid my face in anger. Yet they kept on in their willful ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked.
Sarah, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and being our guest reader. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, but before I do, would you give us just a little of your background about your family and who you guys are?
Sure. My husband, Van, and I have been members here for a while, as you know, and we have two boys. Gideon is age 10, and he is a fourth grader at Shades Mountain Elementary. We live in Hoover. And Isaac is in the 4K class with Miss Dee Dee in the ELC.
Now, I know that you grew up as an MK, a missionary kid. And so would you tell us just a little bit about that experience?
Sure. Basically, being an MK didn't feel any different to me than probably anybody else's formative experience felt to them. I grew up in Korea. I lived in South Korea from the time I was about 6 until I was 18 when I came to college. And I spent a lot of time going back and forth between the United States and Korea throughout those years. I spent some time at age 13 going to boarding school. And so there were a lot of things that happened during those years that shaped me and made me who I am. And I'm really grateful for the experience.
How did you come to faith in Jesus Christ?
When I was a child, my parents, being in ministry, spent a lot of time pouring into me, during my early years. And I've always been very grateful for that. And so it was a very natural thing as a result of being raised in a Christian home that at the age of 7, I made a profession of faith. And I walked down the aisle at the evening service at Seoul International Baptist Church. Have been walking with the Lord ever since. Had years when I was closer to Him than others, but by His grace, He has always carried me, and I'm grateful to be His child.
I love to hear about journeys in the faith, and so I just wanted to ask you, how have you seen God be at work in your life? It could be recently, or it could be something growing up. Any story of God's faithfulness to you?
Well, there's one occasion when earlier in my life, there was a period of time when I was living in New York with my husband before we had kids. And out of the blue, I found myself working for United Cerebral Palsy in New York City. And I had never really been a part of the disabilities community or learned anything about people with disabilities until that point in my life. But I found myself just being really hooked and compelled by that ministry to serving people with disabilities. But I still didn't really know why God had put me there until a few months into that job. I got a call from my mother. And during that time, she had come back, resigned from the mission field to take care of her parents who were aging. And she got a job as a teacher's aide in the Homewood system. And lo and behold, because she spoke Korean, they assigned her the only student with CP who was Korean in the district. And she was working with this boy, but she was really frustrated and confused because he had such severe CP that he was dealing with a lot of things, like he had never had a chair, for instance. He had never had any kind of interventions in his life that sometimes people in this country can have. And so she called me and she just said, I don't know how to get him connected to services. I know how to talk to his family, but I don't know how to do that. And so I made a call to our local affiliate here in Birmingham. And long story short, by the end of that school year, that child was able to sit upright. He was able to feed himself. He had been really, really frustrated, and to the point that he had been chewing on his hands and things like that. All of that behavior had stopped, and he was as happy as he could be. And his mom and dad started talking to my parents, and they started coming to church with my parents, and they came to Christ as a result. So that's just one time when, you know, who but God could have put me in that job, and who but God could have knit all those lives together.
Wow, that is an amazing story of the Lord's faithfulness. Sarah, it is such a privilege to have you here today, and I would love it if you would end the podcast for us today by praying for us.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for working in and among us. Thank you for the good work that you've started here, and that we know you will bring to completion. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we fail you. And as we go about our days, please let us work in a way that glorifies and honors your name. And it's through the name of Jesus that we pray all these things. Amen.